Greetings, greetings, my dear, wonderful sisters and brothers of the human family. My dear, wonderful sisters and brothers of the Uhuru family. This is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information. And this is thinkaboutit.org, the Mind of God program. Today's recording date is Sunday, October the 2nd, 2011. And on the Mind of God program, we strive daily to overcome the mind of the wicked ruling class and ruling families of this wicked world order. We strive daily to overcome the mind of the House of Rothschilds, the Oppenheimers, the Synagogue of Satan, the killers and blood shedders of the human family. We want to overcome that mind. And as we overcome that mind, we want to climb up into the mind of God, the mind of Christ, the mind of Allah, the mind of Yehovah, the mind of Namaste, the mind of Amen, Aminet. As we do so, we will break down all of the barriers. Barriers of gender, ethnicity, race, national origin, age barriers. We will break down religious barriers, denominational barriers, tribal barriers, sectarian barriers, as we break down all of those barriers, understanding that we are the oppressed and we must, with the mind of Christ, overcome the oppressor. We will find ourselves coming together, organizing together for freedom, justice, equality, the kingdom of God in heaven, right here, right now, on this earth. We are ready, willing, and able, and eager to ally ourselves with any political revolution, any political, revolutionary, and religious institution or organization. My wonderful, beautiful sister Venice, she's my helper, my friend, my coordinator, my producer, my facilitator, engineer. She's my sister, and I thank her for coordinating this website and this program, the Mind of God program. I pray that the Most High continues to bless her, her children, and her family. You may contact me by emailing yahlove@comcast.net. yahlove@comcast.net. Now let's give praises unto the Most High Father, Creator, and the Most High Mother, Creatress. Praises are due unto the Most High Father, the Almighty Creator. In the African Hebrew language, the word Father is Ab. Sometimes you hear Abba. So put that together with Yahweh and you get Yahweh Ab or Yahweh Abba. In the African Arabic language, the Father is known as Allah, spelled A-L-L-A-H. In Egypt, our African ancestors referred to the Father at one time as Amen, the hidden and unseen Father. In the tradition of the indigenous peoples of the Western Hemisphere, more commonly known as Native Americans, Father is known as the Great and the Grandfather. We also give praises to our wonderful, precious, beautiful Mother, the Holy Spirit, the Almighty Creatress. She, Mother Holy Spirit, is referred to in the book of Proverbs in the feminine and given the feminine title of Wisdom. That word Wisdom is Chokmah. That word wisdom, chokmah, in the African Hebrew language is feminine, referring to a feminine entity, in this case, our mother, the Holy Spirit. In the Living Bible translation of St. Matthew chapter 1 and verses 19 and 20, we learn that she, our beautiful mother, the Holy Spirit, conceived Jesus. Mother, Holy Spirit, did not only conceive Jesus, but she conceived us as well. She is your, my, our mother, mother of the universe, mother of creation, and mother of the human family, as Father is father of the same. in the African Hebrew language, the name and title of Mother Holy Spirit are Ruach HaKadosh. And that word Ruach, found under the number 7307, on the Hebrew side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary, that word is feminine, referring to our mother, the Holy Spirit. That word spirit is feminine, so Holy Spirit has to be our mother. Now, if you put the word for mother in holy in the Hebrew language, aim, with Yahweh, you get Yahweh aim, which is yet our mother, Holy Spirit. In the African Arabic language, Mother Holy Spirit is known as Ilah. And we normally say Ashadu Ilah, Ilaha Il Allah, but let us for a while say Bismillah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Now, in Bismillah, that's spelled B-I-S-M, and then I-L-L-A-H. Bismillah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. That's our mother, the Holy Spirit, because Rahman and Rahim are two words that are rooted in the Arabic word for the womb, W-O-M-B. And Illa is feminine in Hebrew and Arabic, so Illa is our mother, the Holy Spirit, the womb in the Godhead, the womb through whom we are all born. Bismillah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the name of our mother, the beneficent and the merciful. In Egypt, Mother Holy Spirit is known as Amenet, the hidden and unseen mother. In the tradition of the indigenous peoples of the Western Hemisphere, more commonly known as Native Americans, Mother Holy Spirit, that same Mother Holy Spirit is known as the Great and the Grandmother. So it is my honor and my privilege and my duty to greet you, sisters and brothers of the human family, in the name and title of our Lord and Savior, the Black African Revolutionary Hebrew Messiah, Jesus the Christ. In the African Hebrew language, his name and title are Yahshua HaMashiach. Yahshua is the original Hebrew that you get Jesus. Mashiach is the original Hebrew that you get Messiah, and then from there, Christ. Believe it or not, Christ has this day been revealed and manifested in the personality of His Imperial Majesty, Emperor Haile I, Selassie I, Rastafari I of Ethiopia, the 225th king in the 3,000-year-old Solomonic dynasty. Emperor Haile I, Selassie I, Rastafari I was crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords, conquering lion of the tribe of Judah in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, November 2nd, 1930. So I say Jah, Rastafari, Haile I Selassie I, as Jesus Christ's new names in these last days of judgment in Babylon. This wicked world order, Rome, Europe, America, is modern day Babylon. And we are the new names of Jesus Christ in this time. As we get up and stand up and take the mind of Christ, which is the mind to deliver the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed from the oppressor. When we do that, we fulfill the scriptures of the second coming of Jesus Christ manifested in our person, Revelation 3 and 12, which teaches us that in the last days Christ would come. And Christ would come in new names. Not his original name, Yahshua, but in new names. Your name, my name, all of our sisters and brothers who are doing this work of revolution. We are the new names of Jesus Christ. We have the spirit of Yahshua Messiah. We have that spirit to rise up. We are all divine manifestations of divinity, living in this divine universe, this divine creation, on this divine planet that we call Earth, in this divine house of the Holy Spirit that we call our physical bodies. We are the I, in Haile I, Selassie I. The first I is yourself, in unison with the Most High Father and Most High Mother, and in unison with creation. The second I refers to the human family outside of yourself, also in unison with the Most High Creator and Creatures, Father and Mother, Holy Spirit, and in unison with creation. So with this understanding, we go forth and we raise up the dead, and we impart to the dead that word of life, which raises up the spiritual, mental, and moral dead and physical dead. And we will be a living people practicing a life of life rather than a false life of death. We're yet in the book of Revelation, preaching from that which was written by the African revolutionary apostle John. These seven letters written to the seven churches in what is called Asia, Mesopotamia, extreme northeast Africa. These seven letters give us a window into ourselves, seven characteristics, seven attributes. These seven letters showing us the black church, the black preacher, the black church member, but also showing the church in general and believers of all faiths. We can see ourselves in these seven letters. Sometimes Jesus Christ through John gives credit to the church, whatever particular church it is in that particular letter. And sometimes he has to give correction to that church. We see ourselves in that. We do some things good. We don't do everything good. But we can see ourselves in these letters. And we had gotten up to the letter to Pergamos, which is elevated, and we who are believers in the Most High, whether we are Christian, whether we are Muslim, whether we are Hindu or Buddhist, we who are believers in the Most High, we who have that mind of Christ, which is to deliver the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed, we who have that mind, we are elevated. That mentality is an elevated mentality. We say, climb up out of the mind of the wicked ruling class and ruling families, and climb up into the mind of God, the mind of Christ. That means we are elevated. Pergamos is elevated. And we had gotten down to verse 13. And we were dealing with the seat of Satan. And we were dealing with that brother Antipas. When I say brother, I mean a brother in the revolutionary struggle. I don't know whether he was black or white, European or African, but he united with the African church, the church coming out of Africa. The original church was in Africa, led by African Hebrews. So this brother Antipas, whether Greek or African, united with the mind of those African people, African Hebrews, which was the mind of Christ, the mind of God. And that mind was to fight Satan. Where was Satan's seat? We talked about the seat of Satan. The seat of Satan was in Rome. The seat of Satan was Caesar. The seat of Satan was the Roman Empire. And the seat of Satan also rested in the scribes and the Pharisees and all of those elites spread about through the Roman Empire that did the bidding of Caesar and the Roman elites. That's where the seat of Satan was at that time. Where is the seat of Satan today? That seat is in the house of Rothschilds, the Oppenheimers, the 1%, 2% ruling class and ruling families, Wall Street, the bankers, Wall Street oligarchs, and corporate elite plutocrats. These are they who are at the top, who suck the blood of the poor, who create warfare and bloodshed and instruments of austerity, meaning they take your land, your wealth, your resources, and force you to live on nothing. The International Monetary Fund, the World Bank Organization, the World Trade Organization, and the World Health Organization are all controlled by the House of Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers and those wicked ones who make up the synagogue of Satan that we talk about all the time. That's where your seat of Satan is. And so you see President Obama bow to the seat of Satan. You see Netanyahu of Israel bow to the seat of Satan and continue to deny the Palestinians the right to be a free people under their own national flag, being a free state with all the rights of a free nation state. You see Cameron, I think it's Cameron of Britain, bowing to the seat of Satan. You see Berlusconi, I believe, of Italy, bowing to the seat of Satan. You see all of these presidents and prime ministers and heads of state bowing to the seat of Satan as they gang up on Muammar Gaddafi and the Libyan people and raise up Al-Qaeda, which is nothing but a foreign legion, to destroy nation states and destroy people and turn the land, the wealth, the resources over to the synagogue of Satan. What a wicked, wicked world this is. And I mean this wicked world system. And so, Brother Antipas united with the mind of Christ and stood up, and he was slain by the seat of Satan, by those in power. He was slain, and the word slain is found under the number 615, apokeno, and it means to kill, to destroy, to allow to perish, to extinguish, to abolish, to inflict mortal death. And so these wicked ones in power, Caesar, the Roman Empire, and their wicked imps, their wicked elites, killed Brother Antipas. Because Brother and Antipas, let me click his name. Let me see what it means. I believe, yeah, like the Father. Antipas, 493, on the Greek side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary, Antipas means like the Father. So Antipas was like the Almighty Father and worked for freedom, justice, and equality. That's what a Christian does. If you're a Christian, you will find your way to do something for freedom, justice, equality. If you're a Muslim, if you are a Hindu, if you are a Hebrew, if you are Rastafari, if you are a Buddhist, no matter what your religion is, if you are a natural religious person, meaning you read the earth and the sun, the moon, and the stars, like our Native American people, our indigenous peoples of the Western Hemisphere, and like our indigenous peoples of Africa and other places. Those are peoples who follow the Most High through studying the whole of creation. You and I read books, but those books are based on creation. Some people yet read creation itself. And so, no matter what denomination or religious persuasion, religious philosophy, if you're a believer in the Most High, you will find yourself coming together and fighting together with other oppressed people internationally and working to overcome the oppressor and delivering the oppressed from the oppressor. That's what a believer is. He was slain. He was slain. My faithful, let me read this verse right quick. Chapter 2, verse 13 of Book of Revelation. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. Thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. Now this Satan, the word Satan, Antipas was slain where Satan dwelleth. And we talked about the seat of Satan, where Satan dwells in this wicked system, this wicked monetary system in this day and time that destroys the people and inflicts harm on the people. Let me pause and say, this is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information. This is thinkaboutit.org, the Mind of God program. Today's recording date is Sunday, October the 2nd, 2011. What does Satan mean? We must examine these words that we read in Bible, Quran, whatever book you read. Let's go to the Greek and see what Satan means. This Satan word, 4567, on the Greek side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary, it means, it's pronounced Satanas. Satanas is how you pronounce it. And it means adversary. If you have an adversary, that one that is your adversary is your enemy, and that one that is your enemy is one that opposes you. Satan opposes another. That's what an adversary is. Satan opposes God. Satan opposes Christ. Satan opposes life. Satan opposes the Messiah, the deliverer. So this Satan opposes the poor, opposes the afflicted, opposes the needy. Satan, through the wicked powers, the synagogue of Satan, through the house of Rothschilds, and this time Caesar, then the Roman Empire, then Rome, Britain, and America today, house of Rothschilds, Oppenheimers, 1%, 2%, Satan, through those wicked powers, oppose us, the oppressed. Satan, through the oppressor. See, the spirit world manifests through the material world. Otherwise, you wouldn't know anything about the spirit world in the sense that I'm speaking of it. But we study the material world to understand that hidden spirit world that is the root behind the material world. So Satan, being wicked and evil, our adversary, opposes us through the oppressor, through the wicked ruling class. When Satan took Jesus on the high place and said to Jesus that Satan had all the kingdoms at his fingertips, in control of all the kingdoms, and then offered the kingdoms to Jesus, Jesus did not argue with Satan as to whether it was true or not that Satan had the kingdoms in the hands of Satan. Jesus just said, I don't need to go through you to get the kingdoms of this earth. I will stay with the Most High Father and the Most High Mother Holy Spirit, and through righteousness and through the completion of my mission, I will have the kingdoms of this earth, and you will be the loser, Satan. But he didn't say, Satan, you're wrong. But no one has explained how Satan obtained the kingdoms of the earth. It was through Caesar at that time. It was through the Roman Empire, who killed and destroyed and conquered daily. And if you rose up to oppose Caesar, the Roman Empire would assassinate you, hang you on trees, hang you on stakes, and crucify you so that others would be afraid and fear would be pumped into those who would also rise up. And so, in this time, it is the house of Rothschilds, the Oppenheimers, the wicked elites and heads of state who do the bidding of the Rothschilds and Oppenheimers, the 1%, 2%. And if you rise up like Dr. King, these powers through the CIA and FBI assassinate you. If you rise up like Minister Malcolm X, these same wicked powers will assassinate you. So you have to face death and face fear and conquer death and conquer fear to do this work. Where Satan dwelleth, that word dwelleth, 2730, on the Greek side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary. It says, Antipas was my faithful martyr who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. Katoikio. Katoikio is the Greek word. 2730 on the Greek side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary. It means to dwell, to settle. Divine powers, influences, dwell in his soul, pervade, prompt, govern it. Now look, this is so interesting. Where Satan dwelleth, where Satan has settled, where the adversary of the oppressed has settled, the house of Rothschilds, Satan dwells there, Satan has settled there. The Oppenheimers, Satan dwells there and has settled there. Divine powers, the power to rule wickedly given by the adversary Satan to the house of Rothschilds, the Oppenheimers, the 1%, 2% ruling class and families, the bankers, Wall Street, the heads of state, heads of government, financial educational institutions. These are all places where Satan dwells and where Satan opposes us, the oppressed. Influences. Satan has influence. When you see the heads of state get together, and I was looking at the United Nations, and your poor nations, heads of state and representatives are trying to stand up for equal rights and justice, stand up for the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. You can see that some of them who are heads of poor nations have sold out and you can see that they have given themselves over to the influences of the oppressor, the wicked ruling class and families, house of Rothschilds, Satan, in those in that wicked power structure. But you can see that there's a divide between the rich nations, or the northern nations, Europe and America, and the southern nations and the poor nations, Africa, Central and South America, Mexico, the islands of the Pacific, Asia, so on and so forth. And you can see how most of your European nations all gave in to the influence of Satan, that opposer of the oppressed, and said, we love what you're doing to Gaddafi and the Libyan people, including Barack Obama. You know that Al-Qaeda and those rebels who are racist, coming from Benghazi, Libya, are killing black people and calling them mercenaries, realizing that most of us do not know that Libya is 58% black. That's Africa. When you expect a nation in Africa to be half or majority black? And so these wicked forces, lynching black men, killing black women, lynching black women, cutting off black women's breasts, raping black women, destroying black men and black children in Libya, and these northern nations of the earth, Europe and America, bowing to the influence of Satan, dwell in his soul. You can see that these wicked powers, or I should say wicked heads of state, have given their soul to Satan. Or else, how do you explain Barack Obama now creating even more drones? Let me go to this while it's on my mind. On Democracy Now, there was a headline concerning drones. D-R-O-N-E. U.S. launches series of drone attacks on Libya. The United States has reportedly launched another series of unmanned drone attacks inside Somalia. The drones hit at least three targets around the southern port city of Kismayo, which is controlled by the Somali Islamist group Al-Shabaab. The attack comes just days after reports emerged that the Obama administration is building a ring of secret drone bases in the Horn of Africa and the Arabian Peninsula, in which to target, from which to target alleged militants in Somalia and Yemen. This is wicked. The Obama administration, Barack Obama, has given his soul to these wicked forces controlled by Satan. Al-Shabaab is a youth Muslim group who rose up after America destroyed the Islamic government of Somalia that was bringing peace and justice to Somalia around 2002, 3, 4, 5, and 6. This Shabaab know that many of your food organizations, World Food Program, I forget the exact name, but I talked about it a few sessions ago, are only tools for the same wicked powers. And so they reject these programs, but they allow the Red Cross to come in. And so they're trying their best to do right by their people, from what I understand, and I talked about it a few sessions ago. And so they are deemed a terrorist group by the Obama administration. And so now these drones, killing machines, killing planes, are created to kill people who are deemed terrorists. But the biggest terrorist on the planet is America, Israel, Britain, who have given their souls to the synagogue of Satan, who have given their souls to the wicked powers, who have given their souls to the house of Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers, who have given their souls, why? So that they can kill and call it good for us. And we have to do the investigation and know that these wicked ones have given their souls to Satan, given their souls to the house of Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers. And so you see, that the Horn of Africa being besieged by drones, people in Colorado pushing buttons and flying unmanned planes in Africa, killing African people, killing people who are outside of our country. And we, black, brown, red, yellow, and poor white, love it. Because we think because Obama's doing it, that it's okay. And in Yemen, and in the Arabian Peninsula. And you know that Al-Qaeda is supposed to be in the Arabian Peninsula. And let me continue with this. This is connecting to something. Al-Qaeda is supposed to be the enemy in the Arabian Peninsula, but Al-Qaeda in Benghazi is your friend, and the Obama administration funds, finances, weaponizes Al-Qaeda in Libya coming from Benghazi, but Al-Qaeda is supposed to be the enemy in the Arabian Peninsula. Don't we see that these are contradictions, these are lies, these are mythologies, these are maneuverings to maneuver us to support killing and the destruction of the human family. Al-Qaeda is a CIA creation. They are a foreign legion. They do the bidding of the CIA, the FBI, the Rothschilds, Oppenheimers, Mossad, and so on. And they're used only to justify killing. No matter how the killing is done, whether through Al-Qaeda or through the CIA or through so-called rebels, the Al-Qaeda is a CIA creation used to justify killing and maneuver us into supporting killing. Now, keeping with Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, we have heard just recently that the CIA and in Yemen, that the CIA has arranged and completed the killing of Anwar al-Awlaki. With death of Anwar al-Awlaki, has the U.S. launched a new era of killing U.S. citizens without charge? The United States has confirmed the killing of radical Yemeni American cleric Anwar al-Awlaki in northern Yemen. The Obama administration says al-Awlaki is one of the most influential al-Qaeda operatives on its most wanted list. And so this man, al-Awlaki, who was a CIA agent or CIA asset, one might say, because that's all al-Qaeda is, was used by the CIA, FBI, and these wicked powers to inflame people, whether Muslim or American Christians, to inflame people, to cause dissension and chaos, so that the same wicked powers that we always talk about may come in and kill and say, well, we have to fight Al-Qaeda. So they claim that this man, Anwar al-Awlaki, has been killed. This is the CIA talking. This is the FBI talking. These are the wicked people who do the bidding of Satan, who've given their soul to Satan. We don't know who they killed. It could be that Anwar al-Awlaki is yet alive, or maybe he is killed, or maybe the Yemen president, in order to keep currying favor with America, Britain, and Israel, killed al-Awlaki for his benefit. Who knows? Because these people that give us this information are liars night and day. Whenever they do good, it's because of a double negative. If they do something positive, it's because of a double negative. If they tell the truth, it's because of a double lie. We can't trust anything that they say. But to any sister and brother who would do the bidding of the CIA and the FBI, you don't know whether those same forces are going to turn on you when you've outlived your usefulness. The point I'm making is that we have to be against. See, the idea that you can kill an American citizen anywhere in the world, accuse that American citizen of a crime, and kill them extrajudiciously, not bring them to America and try them in the American courts, and not prove what you say he did. In other words, capture al-Awlaki, bring him to America, Put him on trial. Show the whole world all of the accusations that you have accused this man of doing, and prove that he did what you said he did. But no, you so-called killer man overseas, and they got another dude named Khan, I believe. A second fella whose last name was Khan was also killed. He was also an American citizen. You see, this is the same program that the CIA did. They claim that Dr. King was the most dangerous in the FBI. They claim that Dr. King was the most dangerous man to America, and turned people against him and then killed him. And the newspapers of the day were happy. The newspapers of the day hated Dr. King. The same wicked forces said wicked things about Minister Malcolm X, and they killed Minister Malcolm X and caused us to think it was the nation, caused us to think it was black people. But it was infiltrators and agents and assets and informants. And the same CIA, FBI, on behalf of the House of Rothschilds, Oppenheimers, ruling class families, Wall Street, so on and so forth, killed Minister Malcolm X. And even in this time, that's the counterintelligence program. And remember, almost 30, I believe, Black Panthers were killed in the span of 3 years, 67 to 1970. And many people didn't care because the same wicked forces talked so bad about them that we were almost happy they were out of our presence. And then recall a couple of years ago, Admiral Dennis Blair, I believe his name, testified about how they were going to go after those who were so-called anti-American, those who were on the left. And they said they were going to assassinate. In those days, a couple of years ago, we heard they were going to assassinate. This was the Obama administration plan, assassinate Americans if they were deemed terrorists. And within a short span, Imam Lukman was assassinated in Detroit, entrapped by the FBI and pinned with terrorist activity, and they killed him. And so now that killing machine has so-called gotten Anwar Maliki. We have to wake up and oppose Satan. Oppose Satan. Oppose the oppressor. Oppose these people who do nothing but kill. And it's just sickening and it's terrible. We promote life. The Rome Empire then, Caesar then, colonialism, slavery, exploitation in Africa, in the Middle East today, through the House of Rothschild, the Oppenheimers, the wicked 1%, 2%, and so on. Today, it's the Rothschilds and Oppenheimers. Today, it's the central banks who control, the Rothschilds and Oppenheimers control the central banks of the governments of the world. They control the world's militaries. They control the CIA, the FBI, the Fraternal Order of the Police, all of these killing organizations and mechanisms through warfare and bloodshed and theft of land, wealth, and resources. That's what this is all about. All these drone killings. You have a person pushing buttons living in Colorado, wherever the military base is. They send the drones off to kill in Africa and the Middle East, and they go home and lay down next to their wives or their husbands and kiss their children and watch TV and eat dinner. Meanwhile, they have blood on their hands. And so we have to protect our souls. We have to protect our minds. We have to make sure that Satan, through these wicked powers, do not influence us to go after such wicked, wicked, deplorable actions. And so we're going to go ahead and take our first break. And I will see you on the other side of the break. Thank you.